Brasa.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
Jody.
That was cool.
I'm surprised to see you looking so good after a children's birthday party.
So yesterday. Fresh and so clean, clean.
So, like, the stress alone, I imagined you'd be like 2 years older.
Your coffee's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It helps.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad.
A lot of caffeine. That's the second cup for the morning.
How was the party?
The party was good.
Mm-hmm.
Had some adults on the jumping castle.
Oh, really?
It's always a vibe once the adults get on.
Were you on the jumping castle?
We wouldn't be here today if I was on the jumping castle.
Brankles. That is short for broken ankles.
Brankles and Breeze.
Brankles, Breeze, and Brack. Yo, but okay, I would like to be on a jumping castle one day.
Yeah, next
time. Oh, we went to that. There's a place in. And for a work function, we went to that giant obstacle course, the inflatable one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Wipeout, basically.
Yeah. Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
No, a Ninja Time.
Ninja. Is that the Ninja Warrior is the show?
Yeah, Ninja Warrior is the show. This is called Total Ninja.
Ah.
It's amazing. This isn't an ad for them, but I realized how unfit I was.
Yes. It's scary how unfit we all are.
A solid 30 seconds into it. So fun times all around. But on that note, with us being unfit and, you know, the risk of breaking bones, let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
I was so enamored by the buttons that I didn't actually look at the news items yet.
How quaint. And you actually did them.
Yeah, I did do them, but they look amazing now.
It looks so amazing. Russ fixed everything. That's all I'm going
to
say.
That's right. If it's one thing that I like to do is...
fix everything.
No. I just like things to me. Easy, tiger. So,
can I just say there's been a bigger clamoring for Abby.
Yes, I also heard that there has been a bigger clamoring for Abby.
They on camera, on mic, they want Abby. They don't deserve me. Yo. On that note.
No, but that tracks because I don't deserve her.
True. And yet, yes, she is.
He doesn't want to leave.
You trick them with the jokes. That's what I women have said this before. Mm-hmm. A funny guy is a dangerous guy.
Yeah.
You laugh and laugh and laugh. And next thing you know, you're in your Carlo.
Yeah.
But anyway, James Gunn, as you know and I know, he's now taking over DC movies.
Yes.
DC movies. And he has teased, Green Lantern's return.
Yeah, I mean, Green Lantern was part of the DCEU's plan at some point, right? The Green Lantern Corps.
Who knows? Yeah, they were planning to bring in John Stewart at one point, which is why I like John Stewart.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite Lantern,
I think. He's more serious than Hal, but he's got an engineering background. So when you... Okay, that's
like the constructions
are... We're going to geek out a little bit, but...
The
constructions of his ring is like fucking engineeringly sound. Yeah. And they're stronger.
Mm. Hal lends himself more to like the buddy vibe with Flash and all of that. But for me, John Stewart is like...
I like John Stewart.
Also, for diversity purposes, it would have aided...
Yeah.
It would have aided to get more diverse characters.
But he teased that he's going to bring him back.
Yeah. It's apparently he wants it to happen.
Look, people want it to happen. Green Lantern's an important character.
That's never been done well. I mean, we can't... I'm not talking about the animated movies.
I love that interview with Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi where they just ignore the fact that they've worked together before. Yeah,
Taika with his American accent.
He's just like, this is the first time because they worked on Free Guy. And then the other people were like, no, Green Lantern. And like,
you guys were literally best friends in Green Lantern.
You're thinking of Green Hornet. That's Seth Rogen. But I'm excited for this, but I'm excited now for the universe as a whole.
Yeah. If James Gunn is going to make this happen, I don't know if I want to do the like Green Lantern, the entire...
The core,
or if I want him to just focus on the single character. And
But you see, the thing is, Green Lantern is a space policeman.
Yeah.
So...
Earth is in his quadrant.
Yeah, it's in his quadrant, but he has other adventures elsewhere. Mm. And Earth is so played out, man.
And also imagine the stuff that they can come up with in space, like the constructs from the ring and
things. And James Gunn is a spaceman.
Yeah.
I mean, Guardians.
Yeah. I don't think he's making the movie, but...
No, but he knows. He knows space.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Him and he's Elrond. Been there, I'm sure. Him and Elrond. Spaceman.
Wait, he's not a Scientologist, is he?
I hope not. Yeah, yo, hopefully. I like him so much.
But quiet, let's do it. I'm fucking anything that he announces now, I'll be just like...
I'm on board.
Oh, yeah. In more superhero news, Thunderbolts, which is the film with all the rejects from the Marvel Universe.
Marvel's attempt at the Suicide Squad guy.
Yes, kind of, but not also... Yeah, but there's similarities. Yeah, so they are eyeing a major Marvel character for the villain of Thunderbolts, but I don't understand why.
I also don't understand how they could possibly think they could beat this guy.
This is the thing. So the villain they're talking about, or the character they're talking about, is Sentry. And Sentry is scientifically not to be fucked with.
Yes. He has the power of 1,000 exploding, 1,000,000 exploding suns?
Probably, I think it's 1,000,000, but well, if you calculate for inflation, it's over 1,000,000,000 now. So
Sentry is one of my dream characters for Marvel to do. Like, honestly, like
he's
for me,
OP though. Like,
he is.
If you look at the power levels of the current Avengers, he's OP.
It doesn't make sense. But when I read World War Hulk and that whole thing, and I saw Sentry pop up for the first time, I was so in love with that character and hoping we would get him in film someday.
Yeah.
But he doesn't fit in this universe.
No, he doesn't.
At all.
He's but you never know. That could make an interesting film for the Thunderbolts to have to take down someone who's like super OP. But I mean, he's like an Avengers level threat if he is
the antagonist. It ties in with the constant, because Sentry's background is that he got the last batch of another version of the super soldier serum. That, you know, there's always a last batch.
Yeah, this is a yellow serum. I'm trying to get my hands on some.
And he was a drug addict and he got hold of it. And what went into him was like somehow the best that they'd ever made.
Best that ever did it.
And also they can't do it again. But his power levels are comparable with Superman.
Yeah.
And if people understand Superman's levels in DC, then you have some idea of what Sentry's
If DC is a good measure when they say, oh, he can go toe-to-toe with Superman, then you can know. But I think Sentry could beat Superman.
He's so powerful that the only person who can beat him is himself, because his villain, his major nemesis, is his alter ego, the Void.
It's actually like most of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are our own worst enemies.
You want lice lessons. You want lice lessons. What you need.
What you need to do is cut your hair.
I love when I must speak and it just goes into a butt. It's the best. But 100%. So I don't know.
Did you see who they're targeting for Sentry?
Who?
I actually read this first about they are looking at two actors for a villain role. Mm. Ryan Gosling and Alexander Skarsgård.
Okay.
And then I read this and they're like, oh, that's what they want him to play. I can see Skarsgård.
He's huge also.
Yeah.
He's got the look. I haven't watched The Northman yet, but I have to watch it to make my decision for my best favorite film of the year.
Yeah, we're going to hype that up later.
But I have a lot of movies to
get. Me too. It's going to get to movie a day. Two, three.
Wow, that is rude. But yes, we'll see. Whatever.
Mm.
It's fucking Marvel. And
see what they do.
We're going to see. Anjelica Houston, legend, veteran, is joining John Wick spinoff
also,
Ballerina.
Let's not forget Roman Polanski supporter.
Oof. Do you want to go through that list?
She was there.
Because there's people that we like that are on that
very
list.
Very much.
Guillermo del Toro.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Huge supporter. She's tried to do petitions for it. Anjelica Houston, though. she was physically there, and her comment about the girl who was raped was that she should have just gone with it.
So maybe let's not do the story anymore. What the fuck? I didn't know that. I knew there was the list, and there were a few people on the list that signed a petition to bring him back.
Yes.
But no, you know what? Fuck Angelica.
Calling an audible.
Chris Hemsworth, he's a busy man. You know, he's at the height of his career. He's doing all these movies. He's got a show now called Limitless, which he was promoting. And while he was promoting the show, he found out that he has not one, but two of the genes that could possibly give him Alzheimer's in the future.
Yeah, it's apparently now like very likely that he will experience
8 to 10 times more likely.
Yeah, that he will have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and he, this has obviously changed his perspective on what's important, and he has now decided that he's going to take a break from acting and actually spend time with his children and wife and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy because it like came from his mother's side and his father's side,
and both of them have not exhibited any symptoms of Alzheimer's at all.
Yeah,
but the gene has passed on to him.
Sure, that is rough, eh?
I mean, look, it's amazing what science has done, that we are able to figure this stuff out so well in advance, but there's nothing he can do. Like, if he's getting it, he's getting it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like, until Samuel L. Jackson finds the cure, you know, from sharks, there's nothing we can do.
Deep blue sea.
Deep blue sea. My head is like a shark's fin. Best LL Cool J. Anyway.
Your bird.
This is like hectic news, and it also like speaks to the roles that he wants to take in the future. So his last job is now Mad Max Furiosa, and he said working with in that environment was hectic.
Yeah, also he's like, people are trying to find like beef with him and Taika now, because they're saying that he commented on how working with George Miller was like it's like someone not treating him like a joke, or not treating it like it's just a crack up, and it was a lot more serious and intense. Yeah. I'm like, he's just saying that about this experience.
Yeah, remember, it's two different directors. Exactly. It's two different films. It's two different tones.
Exactly. So stop looking for beef.
As much as I was disappointed with Thor, Love and Thunder, Taika is still, like, people are writing Taika off now because of this cuck. And he's made Jojo Rabbit.
Go watch
his
other stuff.
Ragnarok. He's made fucking Boy. He's made all these amazing films. And if it was a bad day at the office, it's a bad day at the office.
It happens.
But he did mention that if he has to come back for Thor, the tone has to drastically shift.
But I think there again, it's maybe a bit misleading, in that the full quote is that the tone needs to shift, but also he wants to be challenged constantly.
Yeah.
He likes having, like, Thor's in different phases of his life, going through different things, as opposed to just phoning it in and doing the same thing.
Because now, spoiler alert, Thor is a father.
Yes.
That's a new journey that he has to take.
Exactly.
And that tone for Love and Thunder will not work.
No.
For that relationship now with the daughter.
Exactly. And also, he wants the next performance to be his last Thor appearance, so maybe channel something like Logan.
Yeah.
Do like Logan X-23 vibes with him and his daughter.
I love that. But we'll see. I mean, shame. It's going to be cock if we do lose, you know, one of the great actors of our generation. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's not going to die, but he'll go 30 maybe. I mean, he'll have Alzheimer's. So I know, it's in my family too. there you have it. Now Abby's going to send me to a home for me to draw on the wall and shit.
We'll still be recording.
Those shows are going to be fun. Bradley Cooper to star in Steven Spielberg's Bullet.
Is that a film that needed to be remade?
I don't know, because it's a classic.
Yeah.
And people fucking love that movie.
I know. I mean, it has one of the best car chase scenes ever. It's regarded as probably the best, just because of the time it came out and what.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like it's a beautiful scene. And sure, it's Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. You know what? Fuck it, Jody. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let them
do it.
It's
end of the year. It's been a long year.
The thing is, like, with technology and what's available, maybe we see something that we never... Look at Top Gun Maverick.
And also what they're saying is that this isn't actually going to be a remake of that movie. They are actually going to do a more character-focused...
Spiritual sequel, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. You just call it Bullet again.
Bullet. It always sounds like a dog's name.
Bule.
Okay. But Bradley Cooper. What was he in Lost?
That Guillermo del Toro film about the carnival.
Pinocchio.
No, the carnival thing, man.
Pinocchio's carnival.
I actually watched this.
Maynardville, the movie. Drinking in Gap. He's in Chinatown.
I'm making me so confused that I just want those movies. Something Alley.
Nightmare Alley.
Yes. That one. Yes.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
He was really good in this.
I haven't seen it. Mm. Anyway, bullet. Shoot that shit.
Shoot your shot.
Magic Mike 3. It's yes. fucking happening. I had no idea this movie was coming out.
I had no idea they were filming this.
I just saw the trailer pop up on my feed.
Yo, it's, I don't know how they do these productions with like no
in
news.
In the skeleton, my bro. Yo. But I know these movies are sort of aimed at women. Mm. But they're good movies, man.
Yeah, it's not actually like this. People view it almost as cheap mommy porn.
It's like Chippendales. They view it like Chippendales, the movie, but I mean, it's not.
This is a series that is close to Channing Tatum's own art.
It's character driven.
And the guys that form part of the team,
yeah,
all have also like embraced their characters so much that
100%.
It's not just guys dancing.
No.
It's really not.
These are human beings dancing. And they motivate
really sexy abs.
Look. I mean, even I got under the collar. Mm-hmm. Some of those scenes, it's like, wow. Mm. I tried to recreate it, but
Abby, how did that go? Jump on it. Do it.
It's not Magic Mike. It's more like Illusion Ivan. But listen, I'm excited for this. Salma Hayek looking great
and,
as ever.
And they're hyping that the...
Okay,
all right, she is a all-star, okay? You have some respect. She's amazing. She's so hot.
She's so hot,
she's
though.
She's so hot, though, bro.
There is apparently a final dance scene that's something like 20 or 30 minutes of just him and Salma.
Oh, my like God. The final if dance. That, if it's anything like Step Up 3.
Oh.
Now I'm here for it. Fucking Magic Mike, let's do it.
I'm down.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing The Woman King, directed by Gina Prince Blythewood and starring somewhat of an all-star cast. Rusty, you put the wrong thing in here.
What thing?
It's the wrong link.
I didn't change the links. So that's you.
In any case.
You have to Google those, it now. I didn't things. Change the links. I just neatened it.
I'll tell you what it's about and I'll come back to this. Was in the movie. In the 1800s, a group of all-female warriors protect the African kingdom of Dahomey with skills and fierceness unlike anything the
it's
world
It's not Dahomey. It's not your friend.
He is Dahomey. Dahomey.
Dahomey.
Dahomey. With skills and fierceness unlike anything the world has ever seen. Faced with a new threat, General Naniska trains the next generation of recruits to fight against a foreign enemy that's determined to destroy their way of life.
Hectic.
Yes.
Who's in it?
This film stars Viola Davis, Tuso, what's the name? The South African actress who's amazing.
Tuso, what's the name? Yeah. The South African actress. Oh my God, Jody.
Just hold on. Tuso Mbedu as Nawi, Lashana Lynch as Izogi, John Boyega as King Gezo, Sheila Atim as Amenza. They're the main guys. And then Jordan Bolger as Malik. He's the love interest of Tuso's character.
Wow. Okay. I heard a lot about this film before I actually went
yeah,
into
this,
it.
Yeah, there was a lot that
there
came
was controversy.
Out.
I mean, I don't know if you want to get it. We won't get into it now.
Well, I mean, we had a question from someone who responded to our questions that actually asked, shout out Queen of Josie, who asked about Lupita Nyong'o, who was originally attached to this film.
Yeah,
who left and her reasons for leaving the film, which kind of touches on the controversial aspects of the movie.
Okay, do you want to talk about that now?
I mean, I guess address the controversy right off the start.
Okay, but then you must ask the question like in the film.
That was the question.
I know, but like say, Queen of Josie, she asked.
Queen of Josie responded to your question sticker with thoughts on Lupita's reasons for turning down Woman King.
Thank you. Now I can put it in the clip. So, yeah, I did quite a bit of research on this. Like,
mm-hmm. As you do.
Yeah, half an hour maximum. So,
on the toilet.
Yeah, it was on the toilet.
Best research.
So, I mean, there's a lot of viewpoints that came out. The story of this army is, yes, it's based on the real army.
Who inspired the Dora Milaje.
Yeah, in West Africa. Mm-hmm. But they had affiliations with the transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah.
And the kingdom of Dahomey. The kingdom of Dahomey. their growth was actually tied to that African slave trade and providing slaves to be shipped off.
Yes.
And the army in question, they were actually slave raiders at a point. And they used to go and pillage these villages and gather people to be sold.
A goji,
yeah. This is true.
Yes.
And Lupita Nyong'o was cast. Mm-hmm. And then she heard about the story. And then she went and did a documentary with the BBC.
Yes. Based on the real.
The real
Agoji tribe. The woman force.
And watching the documentary, she discovers in real time, like, the atrocities. She meets descendants of people who were relocated by the Agoji. And the pain that these people still have, I don't blame her for leaving the project.
Yeah. But I think she did it in a very PC way because
it was amicable.
She didn't like come and say, I'm leaving because of this.
Yeah.
She just said that she doesn't really believe in, she doesn't want to be associated with the film anymore.
Sure, and I totally respect that. Yeah. I mean, there's views. I'm glad people are actually doing research and learning about this, which is number one. Number two, I can't blame her at all. It's a different thing if, like, it's a stance on, like, anti-vax or something like that. But if you watch the documentary, you see she impact. Starts crying. Yeah, that she's talking to people who were actually born in Nigeria. Mm. This woman does not know her Nigerian family because she was brought to Benin from Nigeria, her ancestors, and against their will. Mm. Her great grandmother was a slave. She just happened to not leave Africa.
Yeah.
So it's like real shit, man.
It's really hectic to wrap your head around. And for me, it's almost like there's this aspect of it, which the film tries to address.
No, they do. they address it. This is an anti-slavery film.
Yes.
Let's get that out of the way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But also it's a movie that I feel was misadvertised or potentially almost like promoted incorrectly.
I don't agree. Let's hear your point.
So for me, most of the promotional material in this movie focused on the fighting aspects of it. It was very action-centric.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, most of this movie is more around the political machinations behind the scenes and the discussions around slavery and the almost positioning of people in order to, like, move from we are slave traders to the next phase of us.
Yeah.
Maybe not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So for me, that if you're interested in that, I'm not saying that that is bad.
Yeah.
But what was promoted was fighting, and this is Viola Davis in the most fierce role ever. And
look, the action is great, though.
It is.
It's solid, and I didn't feel like I was cheated.
Was that?
I didn't feel that.
I'm not saying I feel cheated. No, I just advertised it as one thing, which when it was a lot more focused on other stuff.
Yeah, but it was also the personal journey of a character, and they had to tackle that. Mm. If you look at the history of the actual kingdom, they had to tackle that shit. Mm. The politics, the slavery, all that jazz, the white man.
Yeah.
Portuguese
in this, so.
They're white. People are like, but yeah, it
uniformly.
Was Portuguese, yeah. It's just the colonizers. Mm. The other side of the coin, if you look at this as pure entertainment, it's a great film, in my opinion, because it's something that we've never seen before. Mm. And for the people with there was a boycott Woman King movement because of the differences in the movie and the true story.
Yeah.
I say fuck that, first of all, for me personally, because Braveheart didn't play out like Braveheart.
I was about to say, it's like when you have a film directed by a white man, starring a white man, you don't have protest about.
Motherfucker, they've been doing this for years.
Maximus didn't really do all of this stuff in ancient Greece.
They have been fucking taking liberties with history for years.
Yeah.
And now the moment that, it's a black-centric film with black women starring, they like, oh, no, this is bullshit. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Mm. Fuck that shit, man.
What I was thinking at certain points is it might have served them better to not even base it on a true story and to have made this just about, like, characters that were written, fictional characters. But also, it's an important part of history that is not spoken about ever.
Look, so the palm oil thing is, so the one of the things that they want to propose is that instead of trading humans, human lives, they actually trade palm oil.
Yeah.
And that is apparently true, that they were in favor, the women were in favor of the
doing
palm oil.
Yeah.
So there's certain things, I mean, they worked with an historian who is a descendant of one of the kings of the Dahomey kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they went into this blind and been like, oh, we're going to change everything. They took things, they realized that this is a fictionalized telling based on true events.
Mm.
And I mean, what is wrong with that? If anything, it's good that it sparks you to do your own research and find out. And, you know, the real villain was the fucking white man in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're dealing with colonialism and slavery and stuff, it's...
Sure.
That's often the outcome.
Yeah.
So maybe going away from the controversial aspects.
Oh, I hope that answers your question, Queen of Josie.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, we agree with Lupita Nyong'o's decision to
totally see your view.
Totally see your point. I get it 100%.
So the characters themselves. Obviously everyone's doing African accents and so on.
Oh, it's different.
What
did
you
different.
Think of the cast?
They're all different. The accents were all different.
Yeah. Based off of accents, I had no idea which part of Africa
they were from. All of Africa. So you have Amanda Waller.
Viola Davis.
That's the one.
Naniska.
She was doing the walk. Did you ever watch How to Get Away with Murder?
Jenna loved that show.
So do you know she walked in that film?
Yeah.
In that scene. So there was a little bit of that walk and Abby could not contain herself because they were making Khatabat on TikTok. The Annabelle, what is the name? Annalise Keating walk.
So please send that to Jenna, Abby, because Jenna loved that show.
It got long in the tooth. Viola Davis, I want to finish my thought. Viola Davis was doing a generic African accent. Mm. And then you got the South African accent from
Tuso Mbedu.
Tuso Mbedu doing South African accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then
John Boyega.
He's Nigerian descent, so he's doing the Nigerian accent.
He is coying.
And then fucking Lashana Lynch doing another accent. So it's like, okay.
But did it matter?
I didn't in the end.
Not greatly, but I think what this makes me think of is when we talk about representation in film, right, then is it also fine for us to have people from Western countries playing these African characters and maybe not doing them the way that they should be done?
Mm.
It's something that I've been wondering about, because we talk about there's discussions around should only gay men play gay characters in films. There's discussion around
people with autism playing characters with autism.
So is this an extension of the same conversation? Because we kind of like, okay, but it's just accents, but it's also representing a group of people.
Yeah, I hear you. But look, it's commercialism versus telling the story. You need
the movie
big
would
bang
never
stars.
Get off the ground without the stars.
The accent is so vast around Africa.
Yeah.
That, to me, it didn't make a big
difference. Mm. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. But Black Panther opened the door for this film.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
That's and this film would not have been made if it wasn't for Black Panther.
Not at all. And the fact that this influenced some of the story, influenced the Black Panther, is kind of almost somewhat ironic that now Black Panther opens the door for this movie to be made. And
so I get it. They needed stars to be in there.
Yeah.
And they pulled on different things. I think it's a small price to pay.
True that. The cast as a whole, though, I love this cast.
John Boyega was so good.
John Boyega.
Viola Davis always.
We have got to get Tuso Mbedu on the show if we can. I want to campaign.
We actually met someone who was in the movie.
So did you meet Sav?
No, I didn't meet Sav. Oh, okay. She is a waitress at Clark's, and she played Jan Naniska.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I forgot about that.
There's also a local stunt person who's on Insta, Alex J. She was one of the...
No, Alex J was on 5FM.
Yes, also. He's now doubling as...
Wow, as a black woman.
Yes. No controversy. But a local
Leon
stunt person. You know, it's December. Leon is defrosting as we speak.
He's coming. He's just like Mariah Carey.
Same time.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, in any case, I love this cast.
Yeah.
I think that obviously Viola and...
Viola always kills it.
But Viola and Tuso's arcs are the most prominent in the movie.
So good.
But everyone gets time to shine in
the Lashana Lynch.
I love the cast, really. The cast and that's why for me, like, story controversy aside, even the, like, expecting more action stuff, I don't actually care about
it. I didn't care either.
The performances were incredible.
I didn't like. I felt like he was the weakest. Was the half breed man.
That Bulgar character. Yeah.
The mixed race guy.
Yes. Something Bulgar. The love interest. He's Tuso's love interest.
Yes. He was weak though.
Yeah. He added nothing. Mm. Jordan Bulgar.
Mm.
He added nothing for me.
He had muscles.
Well, we can talk about it in the spoiler, but. The way things ended there, I was completely happy.
Yeah, I was just happy. Yeah. I was happy, yeah. He was weaker, but I mean, that's the thing. You got such a strong cast now. Everyone else who's not on that level is just going to stand out.
True.
Even John Boyega, I was a little skittish in the beginning, he won me over in the end.
It was a bit like, I don't know if he's pulling off this, the gravitas of being a king.
But then it's like, as the movie went on.
That dude grows into
it. Yeah, it's crazy, no?
I love that.
Viola Davis is 57 years old.
No. Do you know how I knew she would pull off the physicality though?
No, he's right.
She's just
That's the right answer.
No. But you know how I knew she would pull off the physicality though? Because Jen loves Viola and she follows her on Instagram and she is literally in the gym all the time.
Mm.
Jenna has told me every day about how Viola's in the gym again. We need to do something about
this obsession with Viola Davis is a bit big.
Yeah,
she tells you.
Every day. So I had no concerns that she'd be able to pull off the physical aspects of this role. And I think that people might not know that she's capable of this because in most other things, she's always in like full suit and, you know, she's like power suits. That's her thing.
Yeah.
You never get to see her in this type of physically demanding role.
I'm so glad she did it. She's not even the tallest one and she's just
by far the most
a force, my bro. Yeah.
Speaking of the tallest one, Sheila Atim and Lashana Lynch.
I was like, this woman should play for the NBA. She's amazing.
The physicality that they pull off.
Oh my God. Everyone,
to be honest, because Tuso doesn't have a stunt double either. And it's like, it's insane.
The women were crazy,
like,
bro.
The fighting scenes that they pull off.
There's a scene where what is the tall one's name?
Sheila Atim.
She moves that bro with a chain.
Yeah.
Watch that this morning at 7:30. You know, if you're watching a film and you're just going,
she starts with like whip, whip, and then she like, wraps it around the fist.
And I was like, that is fucking beautiful.
So, Ross, the one thing I think they could have done was the action scenes, eh?
Mm.
But this is the tension between wanting to make your film accessible and perhaps realistic. They are fighting with machetes and they're fighting with like close quarter combat type things. Very little blood in this movie, if any.
I think it was a writing thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's that tension between, if you put blood in, then it's going to become a restricted 18R in the US.
Yeah, which then minimizes or decreases your audience.
Yeah, but it's almost like I wanted it to be more visceral. Yeah, just because they are so, the fighting is so on point, the hand-to-hand combat is so on point, that it's like when there's no blood, I'm like,
fuck, bruh. Mashana Lynch's character literally sharpens her nails so that she can stab people with it. In the opening fight, she fucking kills a guy. And I would have loved to see her nails actually go into his neck.
I actually thought she was just doing a tracheotomy because he needed to be saved.
That's right. And, anyone can do it.
Just cut your finger.
Yeah, because of Grace. My favorite tracheotomy scene is in... The Heat with Sandra Bullock.
Where they don't know what
they
do.
They fuck it up so bad. Anyway, so talking about that, that scene where she stabs that guy with the nails, we weren't sure at first what she actually did.
Mm.
And if it was R,
then they would have been...
I actually thought she went through his eyeballs, nothing.
Yes, I saw, but then she pulled her hand back and all four had blood on it. So I was like, okay, she must have gone for his neck.
Yeah. She went hand deep.
Hand deep in his neck, you know? Just on his epiglottis.
Yeah.
Giving it a handshake.
Sure. Okay. We've covered characters. We've covered the controversy. In terms of the story, how it played out, I told you that I had some, like, it was a bit unexpected for me that there was all the political stuff going on, but I don't actually care. Like,
yeah.
Like, the character aspects of this, the action aspects of this, the music. I haven't even asked you about the music.
Music was amazing.
Terrence Blanchard, amazing.
Like, costume design, cinematography. Mm. You know, when they go to African places and villages, it's usually like, oh, these people are living in fucking hut. This is like an actual kingdom.
Yeah.
And everybody, like the king and his wives are like dressed in, fuck, even his eunuch was like... sassy in purple.
I had my biggest laugh.
Yeah.
Just for the
sake, attitude. Like,
get out my way.
Yeah. The
just the amazing look that he gave.
This was shot in South Africa. The locations include Castle of Good Hope. If you're from Cape Town, you'll fucking spot that shit. Palmit Beach, Wissenhof Nature Reserve, and then an old ammunition factory in Paardevlei.
Yeah.
That's the Somerset West Side.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all in Cape Town, and they built the sets in Paardevlei to have sun from a certain direction so they could light it up in, like, natural African sun and make everything bright and beautiful. And they totally pull it off. Yeah.
Look, I give complete props to, like, all aspects of that side of the film, the cinematography, the music, direction, everything.
And the action, the choreography.
Yeah, it's almost
what
like...
What style is that? I
felt like they were leaning a bit too heavily into MMA in the beginning. Because they had moves that I didn't know if people even thought of those types of moves
like
then.
Arm bars and...
You know what I mean? Like the John Wick inspired stuff.
Yeah, there was a Superman punch.
So I felt like it's leaning MMA heavy, which feels modern.
Yeah.
But... In the end, I'm like, no.
No, but if you think about it...
This is close quarters combat.
You're talking about women who are generally weaker than men.
Yeah.
Fighting men that are, you know, bigger, some of them twice their size.
Yeah, bigger, stronger.
So you're going to use moves that leverage their weight against them and stuff. It made perfect sense for me.
Oh, dude. Before, let's get into Choir 9 and then we can do spoilers because...
Well, we have to answer questions first.
We only have one more question.
Can you
have
nice. We love it. It's like a ticking time bomb.
So we only had one more question specifically on this film. Medstagram says, first, not a question, but you unfollowed your OG fan. Oh, disgusting.
Okay, can we follow her back live?
We'll follow back.
No, like live now on camera.
Okay. Going in.
Medstagram can... No, she started shit in the DMs.
Yeah.
And then she tested us and then we unfollowed her.
Yeah, we don't take shit.
Yes, it's a Bicycle Bros account.
Yeah. But the Medstagram has been followed back.
Yeah, we followed you back now, so just chill. Enough. What was the question about the film?
Not even a question, just also the Woman King was a bitchy boring.
I think you were a bitchy boring. Okay, Abby did find it long.
It is long. And I think, again, Ross, this is touching on how it was marketed.
Oh, yeah, the most representation you
which
said.
Which is intense action. Like, this is woman fighting.
Man.
When, in actual fact, there's a lot more to it.
Fuck that.
I think it would have served them better to advertise what this movie was really about, which is dealing with rape, which is dealing with colonialism, which is dealing with woman roles. I didn't really spoil anything.
Fair enough. But, I mean, Braveheart, all those epics are long, and this is a historically inspired epic.
It's a story that needed to be told.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't feel like... I think they were very economical. I didn't feel like anything was wasted in terms of storytelling, and I felt like the runtime, yes, it's long, but necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going into spoilers?
Kwai and I?
Oh, yeah. I said this is Kwai. I haven't seen a film like this before, and it's amazing to see African culture and African women specifically represented in this way. And I fucking love it. I hope we get more of this shit.
I 100% agree with you. The characters, the music, the cinematography, the story. This movie was awesome. It's a Kwai from me.
Kwai.
If you don't know about spoilers.
So, Viola Davis is actually Tuso Mbeda's mother. Mbedu's mother.
Yeah. That was a
that was great crazy
twist, great twist, and such a cool way of bringing together like three important stories. So right?
The story goes, Viola Davis's character, Naniska, was a slave at the time, and before she became general, and she was raped multiple times, and one specific rape is actually the villain of the story.
Yes, the main antagonist of the story. I'm just looking for that guy's name. It's Jemmy Odukoye, who plays Oba Ari.
He impregnated her, and she obviously didn't want to have keep the baby of a rapist, so she had the baby in secret, and then, as Abby said, put a GPS tracker in it.
Yeah. Which, also, how did that not give her an infection?
She did. She called it before.
Nah, well done.
Yeah, I didn't well see done. It.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
But.
Ooh, sorry.
Woman's intuition.
Woman's intuition.
But also, how did that not get infected?
The herbs.
That chip.
The herbs. They all had herbs on after they cut. That was an actual practice, Jody.
I know. I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Eucalyptus.
Like, you put something in.
Yeah, a baby. I didn't. I mean, this was now, wasn't R-rated, but they cut that baby, man.
That was. It hurts.
So, yeah, that's she's an actual daughter, and that's the big spoilers. Mm. I, like, the climax, the final fight, I love
that. The final fight was incredible. It was tense. I don't know if the mechanics of the arm stabbing thing quite worked with how she stabbed the guy, but
The length of the knife, it depends on that, I suppose.
That, but also like he stabs her like this, and then she just like and then turns it around, and I don't know. It was a bit.
Yeah, she went up.
Okay. I get you. In any case, the fight was awesome.
Mm.
It was also not like an overblown final fight scene.
Yes, it wasn't.
It was a like nice, tight, and like intense.
She's so good when she fucking thinks that her daughter is gone, and she releases, and she just turns to her second in command and says, "Burn it to the ground. No survivors."
Yeah, that's when she talked. What's her name? Sheila.
Yeah,
I think with her character. Amenza.
No prisoners. Yeah. Burn everything.
Over Skadovas.
Yeah, like your noses. And then we finally get to see Tusum Bedu, like
badass.
Her mother's there, and her mother's like, "Okay, we're gonna take them on together." She's like, "No,
you wait."
Yeah, you give me. And she murks these fools.
Yeah, how many? It's like four or five guys. Yeah. Just like.
And I was like, "Yo," and then it was like, "Okay, the army's gonna be in good hands."
So I suspected that Naniska was going to die within the story. The way that it was going, I thought that she's going to like sacrifice herself to save her daughter.
I knew Mashauna Lynch is gonna die.
Yeah, but I was still sad, dude. Izogi was one of my MVPs
with a broken arm. Her arm was broken. And they push it back. No, I have a thing about Achilles tendons. Mm. So when
from Pet Sematary time.
No, it wasn't even then. I don't know. It could have been. No, it was the hostel.
Oh, hostel. Okay.
Anyway, so there's a scene where one of the other warriors is fighting, and she clamors and stuff, and the guy's gonna kill her, but then she does a whole judo move, and she sticks him in his Achilles.
Right in the kaniki.
But yeah, that arm put back maneuver was hectic.
But also just Izogi in terms of the she's like the comedic relief basically for the first part of the film.
So good.
Also pulls off like just all the action, everything.
All the women.
For me, I was saying to Jen that the British actors, Lashana and John Boyega, I think their accents were a bit better in terms of, perhaps it's like there's a
more proximity because they are, is she also Nigerian?
I don't know what
but he's got Nigerian, he goes to Nigeria.
Yeah.
So it's like they have a stronger connection to Africa than the others.
Mm.
But okay, slavery is to blame for that.
Yes. But what else do we need to cover?
There's a scene where they do the dance to hype them up. That's actually legit. They did do that. If you watch Lupita Nyong'o, you can find it on YouTube. Watch Lupita Nyong'o's documentary. Mm. The women did do that. They still do that to this day. Mm. But that was amazing.
I felt like they were doing a lot of the like celebration dance type things in this film. Like, I felt like there was a lot of, okay, now we're celebrating this, or there's this festival. Almost like they really wanted to showcase all of the different music and dances and all of that.
It's called seasoning.
Okay.
And that is something that white people will never understand.
Lashana is of Jamaican descent.
Ah, talk to me, man. But the buku. Only massive.
There we go.
Okay, I'm not even drunk. But I actually like that. I like seeing such, you know, the culturally rich vibes of it. And it was accurate to an extent, those type of things. But it's just vibes. There's no other way I can describe it. Even when they're singing.
Yeah.
There's a section
with the initiation scene.
And the woman, the basketball player lady, she's like singing. She's obviously first chair on the choir or whatever. And
she is a singer, actually.
And it was like, this is fucking dope. But during the filming of this, 65% of the crew was tested positive for Omicron when they were here. So production had to be halted.
Talk about the, what did we call those events now again? Yeah. Super spreader events.
And then in the end, she is named the Woman King. And that is actually legit. So the film's title comes from the fact that people of Dahomey believed in a legend of two kings. A man and a woman were exact equals. And Naniska is expected to be crowned a woman king. That's why the film isn't called The Queen. So
also, they would have had to pay rights to the
band.
Alan Mirren led.
Oh, okay. I thought Dungus was going to come looking for it.
What's his face?
Brian May. Anyway, in the culture, historically, equality between men and women was a big thing.
Yeah.
There was way more equality back then in those African states. So this tracks, man.
Yeah. The one actress we haven't mentioned is, I think it's Jamie Lawson who plays the wife who's trying to ascend our other antagonist.
Shantae. We all know a Shantae.
She was
so good.
So conniving.
The women are beautiful in this film. Yeah. Stunning. They oiled up, ready for war, and then the wives are sitting there, like, all just dressed to the nines.
Ready to be wives.
It's crazy, bro. But she was so good. Yeah. Yeah, and when the unit put there in a place.
Sitting there all ready to go at the end. And then the disgusting side.
No, but I really enjoyed this film. It was so unique. We haven't seen a story like this before. And I do suggest you watch it. I had a lot of fun with this. Yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Fantastic. So this week we got sponsored some amazing cookies.
Hell yeah.
And cakesicles. And
cakesicles, look at that.
Yeah, we've got some cakesicles with our branding on. Is that mine?
Yeah.
Thank you. We have some dipped Oreos, chocolate dipped Oreos.
Damn.
With our branding on it.
Look at that. My face is on a cookie. That won't be the first time.
Whoa,
is this PG?
I hope so. And this was all done by Lisa Fortein, aka Lisa That's Delicious.
Lisa That's Delicious. You can find her.
We will be putting on Instagram. On the Instagram.
Yeah, you can DM her, Lisa That's Delicious. This looks delicious.
Yeah, I bought cakesicles separate to this for home, and they were amazing. So I can tell you now that this is going to be quite.
Have you had this one?
I haven't had the chocolate Oreo. Take them now. Go for it. Listen to that crunch. Get that ASMR.
Oh. Lisa Cakesicles.
Lisa Cakesicles.
I'm sorry. Lisa Cookie Fontaine.
No.
What is that?
You've got cookie on the brain now.
What is that account called?
So it's Lisa Fontaine. And it's Lisa That's Delicious on Instagram.
Is delicious. Thank
this
you,
is delicious.
Lisa.
This is amazing. Thank you very much. We still have a question that we have to get through because we don't want to ask this question when we do our next episode.
Yeah, talk to me.
So I'm just getting to our questions. So thank you to everyone who sent in their questions. There was some fantastic stuff there. Casual Dog Podcast asks, you can choose one failed diet to have for the rest of your life. What are you choosing?
I don't eat a lot of failed diet, but you know, I am a masala steak sandwich guy. I'm also a double hot dog guy. Gatsby's, I don't eat enough Gatsby's. But masala steak sandwich for real. What do you agree?
Masala steak? Yeah, I'd go for homemade, like, chip roll with Viennas and full house vibes.
You also like a chip roll. Yeah, she loves a chip roll.
But, you know, where you make it yourself, man. With a pichu.
No.
No.
That's not the same.
I make my own.
No, my God.
I make my own failed diet.
No, that's bullshit.
You don't know me.
You need to talk about Food Planet or something.
Okay, then I'm going to say Wemblo's.
You're all the way in the south.
Yeah. Double hot dog with cheese, tomato sauce, and a strawberry milkshake and chili sauce. Also. Yeah. And a strawberry shake.
Masala steak all the way. The Gatsby's I can do without. I love a Gatsby. You know what, no? Bologna gets a bad rap.
Probably because of its lack of existence on the Gatsby.
But
the bologna to chip ratio is never great.
Yeah, but I mean, a good bologna Gatsby is, you know,
non-existent.
Special. Anyway, hope we answered your question.
One more.
Graziano.
Are you World Cup Brasso or not? If so, who are you backing? Ross, you are renowned for your love of sports.
I am a sportsman. I do love a World Cup. I do not love this World Cup.
No.
For
hashtag reason. Not our World Cup.
Not our World Cup. Look, every country has its problems. But this is just blatantly something that I can't ignore. So I am not supporting this World Cup.
Mm-hmm. And therefore not choosing a country.
I did put money on a certain country.
Whoa.
But it was such a little money, and it was just for years.
Yeah.
So I got one wild card and one strong card. So France is my pick, just because
that's not bad.
Just because it's
here's a good chance you'll win.
Yeah, but I also it's not so like people of Brazil and whatever. It's not this thing. And then my wild card is Belgium.
Ooh, nice.
And you?
Don't really have a team that I'm supporting this time.
Are you watching?
I am watching.
Okay.
I kind of just, there's no one that I'm really backing.
Yeah.
If I had to choose a team, I guess Brazil, because there's quite a few Arsenal players there.
Mm. So and you're an Arsenal man.
I am an Arsenal man.
So I hope that answers your question. Graziano, I assume you're supporting Italy. Are they in the World Cup?
No, they're not.
Mamma mia! I'm sorry, Graziano. What is the closest to Italy that would be at the World Cup? Spain?
Yeah, one of those.
They don't make spaghetti like you guys.
Not at all.
Cool. If anyone wanted to find us, Johnny, how would they do that?
They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, Biscobrasso Podcast, and they can send us an email, biscobrasso@gmail.com.
Thank you. Everyone stay safe. Stay safe, Jody.
Safe for us.
Keep it a gookie.